Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the fact that the Lord Jesus is always with us and that we can depend upon him in every situation of life. We thank you, Lord, that you do not forsake us, no matter what. Thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ, and pray that you'll help us today to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Cleanse our hearts and our minds of anything that's wrong in your sight, O Lord, and help us to draw close to you, to depend upon you, to look to you for every need that we have. And help us to reach out to others and seek to be a blessing to one another, that we might encourage each other in our daily lives, that we might reach out to those who do not know Christ and seek to be a witness to them. We do pray this morning, our Father, for those who cannot be with us. We know that a number are ill, and we ask you to undertake for them and restore them to health. Perhaps some here today are not feeling well as also, and we pray for them that you might give the strength physically and spiritually that we need each day. Thank you, Lord, for all your love to us, and ask you to guide and help us in all that we do, that your holy will be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning, we're going to be reading Genesis chapter 50. Believe it or not, this is the last chapter in the book of Genesis. Can you believe it? 50 chapters. And we've been through the whole book. I hope it's been a blessing. There's a lot of material here to cover. Okay, Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, and so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he has made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones, and their flocks, their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. May the Lord bless his word, as we will be looking at it in just a few moments. Going to be looking at Genesis chapter 50, but let's have a word of prayer. Father, again this morning we come to you thanking you for your grace and love and mercy to us. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he means to us. And as we've been looking into this book of Genesis, we see the family that God chose, that you chose, O Lord, to bless in a special way and to make them witnesses to the nations. And through them, the Lord Jesus came into this world. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for your wonderful mercy and for your love and grace to us. We pray that you'd help us, that we might understand your word and that we might hide it in our hearts in such a way that we will always know that you're with us to help us. We pray for anyone here today who has any spiritual need. Our Father, you know our hearts. You know what we really believe, what we don't believe. And we pray that you'll help us, that we might truly understand your word and hide it in our hearts. May Christ our Savior be glorified through it all. We do pray today, our Father, for our missionaries. We thank you for the work that they do in various places around the world and even here in the United States, specialized ministries. We ask you, Lord, to bless them in a very special way, that as they give forth the word of God, that it might bring forth much fruit. And we do pray, our Father, for those of our congregation that are laid aside right now. We ask you to touch and heal them according to your will, that they might be soon back with us again. We pray for any that are going through difficulties of various kinds. We just ask you to meet every need and to help in every way. Lord, we just pray that we might love one another, that we might serve you together, that we might honor and magnify your name. We pray for our church. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, as we look at the future, to where we're going, what we're going to do. We just ask you to give us much wisdom and guidance. And may your holy will be done. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless your word now as we look into it this morning, that we might truly receive something that would be helpful to us in our life day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've traveled a great deal with Jacob and with Joseph during these last few months. And we find now that Jacob has passed off the scene. he has gone, it says he's gathered unto his people. At the end of chapter 49, he died. And this whole first half of the last chapter is dealing with the burial of Jacob. And it says here that Joseph was present with him when he died. I don't know where the other family members were, but Joseph was there. And of course, he was sorrowful, as people are when someone passes away. And it's only natural, right? That, and yet we as believers, it says that we sorrow not as those who have no hope, because we know that we will see them again, right? We know that they have gone to a far better place, that if their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Jacob had gone through quite a turbulent life, and for many years, no doubt, did not know the Lord, but he had come to know him, and he died with faith in God. And so Joseph is sorrowing, yes, and sorrowful that his father is gone, but at the same time knows that there will be a homecoming someday. Joseph commanded his servants to embalm his father. This was the Egyptian way, right? And what a procedure this was. It says it took them 40 days to do the embalming. And quite an elaborate process. They claim that, you know, they still find some of these ancient pharaohs that are still in good condition, right? Because of the embalming process and so forth like that. And here we see the they embalm him, and then they mourn for him for 70 days. Jacob here is a simple, and when you come right down to it, herdsman, right? He was from Canaan. He wasn't a dignitary in the sense of a president or a prime minister or anything like that, or a ruler, and yet they treat him as such. I think this is out of respect mostly for Joseph, because of what he had done for the people of Egypt. You remember this great famine that came upon the land, and Joseph was the only one who was able to interpret the dreams that the Pharaoh had had and was able to save the people from starvation and all the other nations around and about. And even his own family had come to get the necessary food to stay alive. So Joseph was one to whom they looked to with great admiration. And consequently, his father, who had come down and lived there for the last 17 years, had become very dear to the people of Egypt. And so they took great care for him. And Jacob had made Joseph promise that he would not bury him in Egypt. They embalmed him, but they didn't bury him. And he says he wanted to be buried in Canaan, in the promised land, in the place where his fathers were buried, where his Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah were buried, and where he had buried Leah in the cave of Machpelah that Abraham had purchased to bury his wife there years and years before. And so the Pharaoh gave him permission to go, and Joseph went to bury his father, but also he had this tremendous entourage with him, right? All of these dignitaries from Egypt and his family and everyone went along, and quite a procession. Must have been really an ornate funeral and and the burial itself. And it says that after they got up there, across the Jordan River, they had a grieving time, mourning, for another 7 days. And the Canaanites said, my goodness, what's going on here with the Egyptians? This has to be somebody really, really important, right? For them to wail like this. And they called the name of the place Abel Mizraim, which it says it means the mourning of the Egyptians. So this was something that they took very seriously. And so they, all of his sons went along and all of his family. They only left the children and the animals back at in Goshen. And so they did this and honored in a special way Jacob, this man who had such an important part to play in the covenant relationship that God had begun with Abraham and carried it on down through the generations. And so Joseph returned to Egypt, it says, he and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. So they had the funeral, they buried him, and returned to Egypt as they had said. He kept his word. And then we find something else. The panic, I call it, of Joseph's brothers. Done, right? These were the 11 brothers. Actually, Benjamin didn't do it, so there would be 10, right? 10 brothers that hated Joseph because of his dreams that God had said, you know, that you're all going to bow down before me. And so they took him and they put him in a pit. And they sold him as a slave, and he went to Egypt. That's how he got there to begin with, right? But they thought, oh my, father is dead. What's Joseph going to do now? Has he really forgiven us? Or is he just waiting for the time when he can punish us for what we've done? And they are very frightened about this. He says Joseph will perhaps hate us and requite us all the evil which we have did to him. Now you see the attitude of the brothers here. Now they are repentant. They are sorry for their sins. They are turning away from, they wish they had never done it. In spite of the fact that how it had turned out. And we see Joseph talks about that in a moment. But they make up this story, right? Jacob hadn't said anything to these men. And yet they said, hey, you know, before Pop died, he said, now you tell Joseph, you know, I want him to forgive you and you all just be one big happy family, in other words, you know. I hope Joseph, there it is. Hope Joseph will do the right thing and forgive you because we're all servants of the same God. See, that's what they're saying here. Now they're making up a story. You say, well, how can you do this? Here they're telling a lie and at the same time saying, you know, we're the servants of God, right? Well, we never do that, I'm sure. We don't do things like that today. But that's the way it was back then. Anyway, they give him the story, and his brethren went and fell down upon his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Once again, you know. They had been so upset before that they thought they had to bow before him, and now they just continually bow before him, right? Because they know of the power that he has. And so they are so sorry for what they've done that's wrong, and they repent to make things right with their brother. And Notice what Joseph says. This is the important part here. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. The judge stands before the door. Who's the judge? The Lord Jesus, right? God. He's the one who is the judge. And Joseph says, "Am I in the place of God?" Of course not. He said, "How can I judge you?" We find here that he has forgiven them completely. You know, we are not to hold grudges or to hate others because of what they've done. He says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. There's no reason for fear. I am not in the place of God." There's another verse that says in Deuteronomy 32, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." He's the one who can bring about the judgment upon people for what their actions or what they do. Verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." See, we find here the sovereignty of God, right? You wouldn't think all of this that happened would work out for good, right? And yet we find that God overruled the wicked deeds of Joseph's brothers and brought great blessing to many people. Now they sinned, right? But you know, it says in one place that God uses the wrath of man to praise him, right? And I think that's the case here. All that they did and how that God worked in their lives. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 19. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." See, this is the very thing that Joseph was doing here with his brothers. He wasn't taking it into his own hands. He says, "I'm not God. I'm not taking the place of God. I'm going to leave it in his hands. Vengeance is his." And he says, "Rather, take care of your enemy." And that's what Joseph did. He says, "I'll nourish you and your little ones and take care of you." And he's returning good for evil, right? Even though they had mistreated him and done so much wrong, he forgave them and realized that God had used all of these things to bring glory to himself. And to overcome the problems that existed at that time. And we find here that this is the way God works. Romans 8:28, right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Even the bad things are part of the fabric of life, isn't it? You know? And we don't enjoy going through the valleys of the hard places. And yet God uses all of that, puts it all together to bring glory unto His name and to help us through these times. He says, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And He comforted them and spake kindly unto them. So they made peace. And what a wonderful thing that is, to have a family that is at peace with one another. For much of their lives, there was always turmoil and strife. And now there's peace. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And then the last part we find here are the last days of Joseph. Not only do we find Jacob passing away in this chapter, but also Joseph himself. He lived to be 110 years old. He spent his first 17 years at home in Canaan before he was sold as a slave, and later he came back and spent his last 17 years, well, longer than that. That was with Jacob. But anyway, when he went to Egypt, the rest of his life was spent there, and he died in Egypt as 110 years old. And here we find him in a peaceful time with his family, as I said before. It says he saw his grandchildren, Ephraim's children to the third generation, and then the children of his other son Manasseh, and his sons. So here we find this grandfather peacefully living out the last part of his life with his family all around him in tranquility, enjoying the good life, right? And we find here a prophetic statement that Joseph makes in verse 24. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So he had faith, he had hope that the people would be returning to the promised land, to their own country, the land that God had given to them. And of course, we know that's exactly what happened, right? That some 430 years later, Moses led the people out of Egypt. And here, we find that he took the bones of Joseph with him. This is what Joseph had asked. And he said to his brethren, wait a minute, where am I? Oh, here, verse 25. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence." Something about that, that they wanted all to be together in the homeland, in the same place. And you could see perhaps there is underlying the thought of the resurrection. I don't know, perhaps. I know that they believed in the afterlife, and so perhaps this is the reason they wanted to be buried with the family and to be there. Some spiritual significance to this, perhaps. So he says, "Take my bones with you when you go." And we find that Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. So they put him in a coffin, but they did not bury him. They kept the coffin there until the time came. And it says that when Moses and the others left, they took the bones of Joseph with them. So they did what he asked them to do. And then in Joshua 24, verse 32, it says, "And the bones of Joseph which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So they buried him in this place. Now in John 4, let's look at that for a minute. John 4, verses 5 and 6. You say, well, why is he going to John? Well, anyway, we'll find out. John 4 and verse 5. Talking about Jesus, it says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. So we find here, it was near Joseph's tomb that Jesus met with the Samaritan woman and brought her and many of the other Samaritans of the village there to a true saving knowledge of himself. They came to know him through he revealed himself to her as the Messiah, and then she called them in and they came to him and were able to understand who he was and to receive him as their Savior. So talking about death here, it says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see? So it all comes together. We live our lives. At the end, we die and are buried, right? But then Christ took our sins upon himself so that when he comes, we'll be resurrected and go to be with him. It says in Hebrews 11:13 about Joseph and the others, it said, these all died in faith. These all died in faith. And that's what we have to do, is to die in faith in Christ in order to have the salvation that he has given to us, right? Now, we receive him as somewhere along the line as our Savior. I don't mean that you have to do anything else to be saved, but you have that faith in you, I trust, and that you will go to be with him. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's where it comes from, right? Because we're sinners, because we live in a sinful world, there's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, even though we may die physically, we can live on forever with Christ if our faith is in him, if we have put our faith in him and trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. I hope that it is a blessing to each one of us. And I pray that you will lead and guide and direct us. You know each heart. If there's anyone who still does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray that this would be the day when they would surrender to him and put their faith and trust in him. May your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.